The Bear Essentials podcast is brought to you by Bear and Squirrel, providing tips, tools, and training to confidently navigate the journey of Christian parenting. Find out more at bear-squirrel.com.
Welcome back. This is Charlie and Christina, and we haven't been with you in a little while. And why is that?
Well, we are part of something super exciting. We just moved all the way from California to Idaho, 900 miles away, so that we can be a part of a church plant here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, so we have been busy. And so we've been away from the podcast for a little while. We've been dropping some field notes and staying in touch as best as we can, but we're excited to be back.
Yes.
And, you know, if you like this show, give us a review on iTunes, because we're going to start hitting the ground running and we want to be able to bless more Christian parents than we ever have before. So you're going to be with us for a while here. So let's jump right in. What are we talking about today?
All right. So today we are talking about what we do when we want to teach our children how to resolve conflict. So the first thing is just that tattling is not allowed in our house, right? And we get that from Jesus's direction in Matthew 18, right? He talks about if you have a problem with a brother and someone sins against you, the first step is to go and reconcile with them directly if possible. And so that's really what we want to teach our children, is to go to the source and work to reconcile. Now, they're allowed to come to us for help if they kind of hit a wall in their communication back and forth.
Yeah, but it's important to note that we're not the referee.
Yeah.
Our job is not, and that probably really resonates with some of you in the sense that you feel like a referee during much of your day, but our job is not to declare who is right, but to get each party, each kid thinking about the other biblically. We want to train them up to think about other people biblically. So we ask questions like, what would it be like to do the most generous thing you could do right now? And how could you best love your sibling right now? What would that look like? How would you want to be treated in this situation? All of these questions are founded in biblical principles, and we want to be, we want them to be generous, thinking of others as more significant than themselves. And we want to model that too, as adults, but we really want to ask questions to prompt their heart so that their heart starts to lean in to think of their siblings as not just a sibling, they're another human being, and they're training for how to interact with other human beings when they're adults.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we do while we go through this non-refereeing process is that we address each child individually. So we help that child, whoever we're talking to really focus on their own sin. If they start saying, well, he did this or she did this, we stop them and we don't allow them to point out the other person's sin at that point when they're talking about the situation with us. We ask them to look at their behavior and to take responsibility for what they did, what was sinful in their circumstance, and how they need to honor God moving forward. You know, Paul talks a lot about giving up our rights in order to really love others. And Christ himself is the perfect example of enduring extreme injustice without ever saying a word to stand up for himself. And so we want our children to get comfortable with giving up what might even be a real right in a situation in order to love others. And this is not so that they can be kind of walked all over, as some might say, but honestly, so that they just have a biblical understanding of sacrificial love, and they grow to be a natural servant to those around them.
Yeah. And you might be thinking right now, like, this is going to end badly. This is going to blow up. It's going to be a huge deal. And chances are it might, especially if you're starting to do this right at the beginning. But you have to take time, be patient, because, you know, it's so important for us as the parents to remember that the Bible is in extreme opposition to our culture.
Yeah.
A lot of this is going to feel wrong, actually. It feels somehow unjust in regards to our feelings and our emotions, but Scripture is extremely countercultural. If we want to raise our children to have hearts that bend towards Christ and his direction, then we need to raise children that bend away from the cultural norm. They need to be living in Romans 12, too. They need to be not conforming to the patterns of this world. So if our children handle conflict differently than their peers on the playground, we can't assume that it's a negative. actually we should look different. You know, I've heard it said before that if we're going around to our neighbors and asking them for their honest opinion of us, if they're not saying we're a little weird, then we're doing something wrong, because we are aliens in this world. We are passing through, and we ultimately are living by a code that's very different than our flesh was before we were saved.
Absolutely. I remember being on at the playground with our kids months ago, and our little Daisy was still three at the time, and she had a friend there playing with her, and something had happened where some other little girls had said something that offended her friend. And so without asking me for help, without being prompted by an adult, she took that friend over to the little girls, and she very calmly said to those little girls, "Can you please not say this again? You really hurt my friend's feelings." And I remember overhearing that and being so grateful for how God was growing her heart in that way, to learn how to handle conflict in a way that was gracious, that was kind, that communicated how she was feeling in a way that was still being respectful of others. And to give you guys insight, I mean, you can listen to us at times and maybe think, wow, we've done this just like this always. And we really haven't. Our oldest is 10. And I tell you what, he would not have said that at three. You know,
we weren't doing a podcast when
you
was one.
No, we've been poured into so much by mentors in our lives who have helped us, and just God in his graciousness has grown us to better understand his word and how to apply it to our parenting. And so it is incredible to see, you know, our then 3-year-old, now 4-year-old, be able to have a level of self-control at four that is remarkable for me to watch. And that's not because we're stellar parents. It's because God is faithful. And when we train our kids in a way that reflects biblical truths, there's going to be fruit. And so just a practical example of even what that would look like. You know, the other day, we had our oldest three come to me suddenly. My oldest comes downstairs and he's, you know, really upset. And he's saying, you know, the 4-year-old was playing in the dollhouse, and him and his older sister, 7-year-old sister, they wanted to play together, and she just wasn't letting them, you know? And so I said, "Hey, listen, what's a way that you can really serve your sister, regardless of whether or not she's right in this situation? How can you best serve and love her? You need to figure out what that looks like and then go do it." And he said, "Okay." So he went back upstairs and put that into action. About 5 minutes later, the 4-year-old comes downstairs and she says, "You know, David and Evie, they are going to play. They're building their own house so that they can play separately, but they want to take the furniture that I have, you know?" So my response to her is, "Okay, well, what is the most generous thing that you can do in this situation?" And so I said, "I want you to go back upstairs." You know, I give her a little bit more coaching because she's 4. "I want you to go back upstairs and I want you to ask the question, you know, hey, what would you like to use for your house? And then be generous with whatever they ask for." And they did. And the great thing is, you know, 10 minutes later, they end up all playing together. Right? This is not actually going to cause great segregation between our children. It's actually going to cause greater community between our children. And I think it might be tempting to think, you know, getting our kids to constantly focus on their own sin is going to cause some great sense of shame or some great sense of guilt. But when we as the parents do this correctly, without sin in our own hearts, what we're actually doing is guiding our children to the gospel, right? The ability to recognize our sin, take responsibility for our sin, seek forgiveness for our sin, turn from it, and then be reconciled to the authority or to that relationship, that is biblical Christianity. And if our children can learn how to do this as 4-year-olds, as 10-year-olds, as 15-year-olds, they are going to be more naturally prepared to do it and follow Christ as their Savior.
Well, and this may be one of the most important, you know, topics to hit head on with their children right now, because I don't know if we've all noticed or not, but really conflict is kind of the flavor of the day. If mm-hmm. you go on social media, there are always plenty of conflicts to be observed. There's a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of things, and it's sin, but they don't know how to put the label on it. And so if we raise these adults who understand how to handle conflict, who understand how to take a step back and love their enemy and process and communicate well, how much better are they going to be at actually being evangelists once they are following Jesus? How much better are they going to be at loving people into the kingdom? Yeah. It's a very hard skill to learn because it means denying yourself.
That's so, the thing is we're all asserting our own rights. We all want what we want, right? And our children, if we constantly say, no, that's right, you shouldn't have been treated that way in this situation, and you should have this, we are training them to continue to seek and to crave that self-justification.
Yeah, and let me give you a quick pro tip on how to totally ruin this, is if you and your spouse sit at the dinner table ever and gossip about other people, because your children are going to watch you do the opposite of what you're asking them to do. You're basically tattling on another adult in front of your spouse in a way that doesn't make sense, and it's inconsistent with what you told them to do previously. Well, thanks for being with us. One thing that I want to mention to you is coffee and tea. Christine and I are going to be doing something on a regular basis called coffee and tea. It's our way of updating you. We were going to send out email newsletters, but we thought that's really boring. That's not what we want to do. So we're going to do a non-newslettery video update. So you're going to get us on video talking very casually about what's going on with Baron Squirrel, what's going on in our life. And so keep an eye out for that. If you want to be notified when that happens, then go to our website and go to the bottom of the website and sign up. And you will be getting a notification when it's time for coffee and tea.
All right, thank you again for joining us on the Bare Essentials podcast. We no longer come to you from our kitchen table in sunny Southern California, but we now come to you from our sweet home in Idaho, which is actually starting to look a little bit more like fall these days.